Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is the Life Tributes column. Amy Ellen Connor, February 26, 1965 to October 30, 2023. Amy Ellen Connor, born on February 26, 1965 in Lubbock, passed from this life on October 30, 2023, and went to be with the Lord at the age of 55 in Nashville, Tennessee. Amy is survived by her loving husband, Sean Connor, daughter Natalie Connor, son Brock Connor, granddaughter Charlotte Connor, mother Jerita Ivy, mother and father-in-law Debbie and Nathaniel Connor, brother-in-law Will Connor, sister Frankie Armstrong, as well as many nieces and nephews. Amy is preceded in death by her father E.W. Marion, brother Jerry Franklin, sister Diane Dykeman, and nephew Brian Barnes. Services to celebrate the life of Amy will take place at Trickle Creek Ranch, 5555 Old Brock Road, Weatherford, Texas, on December 10th. A reception luncheon will be served at 11 a.m. with a celebration of life service beginning at 1:30 p.m. A block of hotel rooms has been set aside at the Holiday Inn Express, 850 East Interstate 20 in Weatherford, under the name of Sean Connor. In remembrance of Amy, the family asks that any memorial tributes be made in the form of a charitable donation to the American Diabetes Association on behalf of Amy Connor. Joaquin Armendariz. Baby Joaquin Armendariz, born in Odessa, returned into the arms of our Lord and Savior on Tuesday, November 21st in Odessa. The Armendariz family has entrusted Mayberry Funeral Home in Midland to conduct private services. Elnora Vines Hill. Elnora Vines Hill, age 83, born in Mount Pleasant, Texas, passed away on Monday, November 20th in Midland. Funeral services were held at Mayberry Funeral Home on December 2nd. Marvin Carl Langley Sr. Marvin Carl Langley Sr., 82, of Midland, passed away Thursday, November 30th. The family received friends for a visitation on Monday, December 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Graveside services will be Tuesday, December 5th, at 1 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, December 5th. Work begins on $225 million Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center. The 200-bed, $225 million facility, which will be built on a 54-acre site, will offer short and long-term treatment for psychiatric patients of all ages. It will include a crisis stabilization unit, an outpatient center, state-of-the-art amenities, and a community education center, a news release said. The facility is being developed by the Texas Facilities Commission and will be operated by a new entity co-sponsored by Midland County Hospital District and Ector County Hospital District. The project is funded by the state of Texas and a wide variety of Permian Basin individuals and charitable organizations. Robbins and Morton is excited to begin work on this project that will help meet the growing need for behavioral health care services in Texas, Robbins and Morton Division Manager Eric Grote said in the release. We look forward to delivering this facility and seeing its positive impact on residents and their families. The project formally broke ground in April of this year and is scheduled for completion in late 2025. We have been truly inspired by the level of engagement and contribution from the Permian Basin community, said Rachel Farrell, HKS Chair of Mental and Behavioral Health Design, in the release. Leaders across education, healthcare, and energy lines have all come to the table to support the Behavioral Health Center. Robinson Morton is the general contractor, and HKS is serving as the architect. West Texas wins Brown Bag Lunch. The Petroleum Museum will host a brown bag lunch and lecture featuring the West Texas Winds from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. December 12th. As the resident woodwind quintet in the West Texas Symphony, the West Texas Winds are active throughout the year, presenting audiences with performances full of energy and refinement. Bring your lunch and enjoy a special musical event to bring in the season. Musicians include Karen Crutchfield, oboe, Chris Chance, clarinet, Sonia Millichamp, horn, Philip Hill, bassoon, and Lindsay Eben, flute. Mineral Show and Sale. The Petroleum Museum will host a mineral show and sale at 4 p.m. December 7th, with a lecture at 7 p.m. Rob Levinsky will discuss how minerals have been the raw materials of art and civilization for centuries. Levinsky owns the Arkenstone Gallery of Natural Art, with locations in Dallas and Shanghai. Many of the minerals in the Petroleum Museum's Mineral Gallery were donated by Levinsky. Board to consider amendment to abatement agreement with Nacero. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will consider a second amendment to the Enterprise Zone tax abatement with Nacero when they meet at 6 p.m. December 7th in the Salisbury Room of the Electronic Technology Building, 201 West University Boulevard. Nacero Texas 1 LLC asked for more time on its tax abatement agreement with Odessa College during the Board of Trustees work session Tuesday. At a November 28th work session, Board Chair Gary Johnson said trustees would recommend the board approve a 3-year extension for Nacero. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees recently approved an extension as well. OC President Gary Williams said November 28th that Nacero Director of Community Relations Wesley Burnett has kept in touch with him and the OC team to keep them apprised of what's going on with the project. According to its website, Nacero's Pinwheel facility will convert billions of British thermal units, BTUs, of renewable natural gas and associated gas from the Permian into over 1 billion gallons of SAF, sustainable aviation fuel, LCAF, lower carbon aviation fuel, and other light products annually, using captured biogas feedstock. Integrated carbon capture and 100% renewable power will result in millions of tons of CO2 savings annually, while creating thousands of clean energy jobs and adding a forecast $20 billion to the regional economy. Burnett said November 28th that the plant will be located 2 miles west of FM 866 on the north side of I-20 near Pinwheel. Plans are still to have 350 full-time and 150 contract workers at the plant and 2,500 construction jobs. He added that they don't anticipate any less than 7 to 10 years of construction. The cost has been estimated at $7 to $10 billion. Burnett said Nacero has 600 acres under control and there are other sections around them. Plans are also to use solar power for the Nacero plant. The Oberon Solar Project is about 7 miles to the west, Burnett said. On a separate item, the board will discuss the Orgis energy abatement. At the November 28th meeting, Johnson said, the finance committee decided it was in the best interest of the college that they not award a rebate to Orgis Energy, a solar energy firm. The rebate went through when Orgis first requested it, but Johnson said they didn't start the project on time. Also on the agenda, monthly statements and budget amendments at PTK, Phi Theta Kappa update, Institutional Effectiveness Report, Vision 2030 Plus Update, and the President's Report, and the 2023 Audit. Choice Schools Expo this week. Ector County ISD is hosting a Choice Schools Expo from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. December 7th at New Tech Odessa, 300 East 29th Street. People are invited to visit the 9 elementary schools, the new International Baccalaureate IB Middle Years Program kicking off at Crockett Middle School, and the 3 high school options, and the K-12 STEM Academy. The Choice Schools application period is now open. To learn more, visit ectorcountyisd.org/choice. Additional resources now available to West Texas landowners. The Borderlands Research Institute, BRI, at Sol Ross State University in Alpine, is bolstering resources available to West Texas landowners. Mike Janis has joined BRI as the newest member of the team, and he will help enhance the offerings of BRI's Center for Land Stewardship and Stakeholder Engagement by assisting landowners access grant funding for conservation efforts that benefit native wildlife. Dennis will help manage a recently awarded Texas Parks and Wildlife Department TPWD grant that will provide over $2 million of Pittman-Robertson funds to enhance habitat on private lands for the benefit of native wildlife. These funds are a result of the Pittman-Robertson Act of 1937 that places a federal tax on the sale of firearms and ammunition to help fund wildlife conservation in the United States. Sean Gray, TPWD Mule Deer and Pronghorn Program Leader, is the driving force behind the grant. I am truly excited to help facilitate another opportunity for our landowner partners to further their conservation goals, said Gary. This is a great example of how partners can work together to affect landscape-level conservation. Along with BRI, the Rio Grande Joint Venture is another valued partner that will assist with delivery of this program. Janice comes to BRI from Texas Parks and Wildlife Department's Wildlife Division, where he worked for 24 years, most recently as the Trans-Pecos District Leader. He brings a wealth of experience working with private landowners on a variety of issues, including game species management, enhancing habitat through conservation projects, and balancing ranch operations with wildlife management goals. In his new role as Trans-Pecos Conservation Initiative Coordinator, Janice will work with BRI staff and researchers to implement landscape-level conservation projects for grassland and riparian land habitats throughout the region. Specific projects will focus on brush control activities in existing pronghorn habitat, restoration of riparian areas through interventions that aid the restoration of perennial creek flow, as well as pronghorn-friendly fence replacement. I'm excited about working with West Texas landowners on habitat enhancement projects and helping them reach their goals, said Janice. Private landowners and ranchers in particular are crucial for healthy wildlife populations in Texas, and we are fortunate to be able to offer several cost-share programs that can assist landowners across the region. Along with the recently awarded $2 million grant, BRI is also administering several other grants that provide funding for conservation efforts on private land. To facilitate the application process, BRI has developed one convenient application portal to apply for all grant sources. We're pleased to make it easier for West Texas landowners to access funds that will help them implement conservation practices across the Trans-Pecos, said Billy Tarrant, who is Associate Director of Stewardship Services at BRI. Thanks to our many partners, conservation-minded landowners are getting the financial help they need to improve habitat, wildlife habitat that benefits us all. The Center for Land Stewardship and Stakeholder Engagement aspires to facilitate effective conservation in far West Texas. The center provides technical resources for landowners, energy developers, community members, and conservation partners, and helps facilitate cost-share programs to help carry the financial burden of implementing new land management techniques that aid in the service of natural resource conservation. To learn more about cost-share programs and to apply, visit the Borderlands Research Institute website. Co-opetition drives annual campaign. Each year, Ector County ISD hosts a giving campaign to support the United Way of Odessa. UWO agencies and programs play a vital role in making sure kids come to school ready to learn. Each year, the department and the schools that raise the most money are honored at a school board meeting, the district newsletter said. Odessa High School raised $12,733 for the United Way this year. Crockett Middle School raised $6,000. Boose Elementary was the top elementary school with $1,938 raised. Technology Services, the top department, raised $6,135. The friendly competition for these traveling plaques pushes everyone in the same direction to help the community through contributing to the United Way. Co-opetition brought in more than $63,000 from ECISD's campaign this year. ECISD to discuss partnership agreements. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will discuss renewal of contracts under Senate Bill 1882 when they meet in a work session set for 6 p.m. Tuesday in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The Texas Education Agency defines two different types of partnerships with the bill, turnaround schools. The existing school received an F rating the year prior to the partnership. Innovation schools, existing schools with higher than an F rating, or new schools with a new campus number, CDCN. If upon the expiration of a charter performance contract, the board can renew the contract for up to an additional 10-year term, supplemental agenda material said. In accordance with law, the board can renew a charter performance contract only if it finds that the campus charter has substantially fulfilled its obligation and met the performance standards in the contract and applicable law. The YMCA and Ector College Prep, run by Third Future Charter School Network, are in their third year of 1882 partnerships with ECISD. Superintendent Scott Murray has indicated that the district will take Ector back starting next year as Third Future has fulfilled its mission. The district will likely renew its contract with the YMCA, which provides pre-K through 3 for ECISD. The board will also hear a presentation on policy and energy management. Connection Christian Church to host Breakfast at the Stable. Connection Christian Church will host Breakfast at the Stable Saturday, December 16th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Families are invited for a special time of remembering what the holiday season is all about. There will be characters from the Christian Christmas story, who you can meet, including 5 barn animals. There will be crafts, carols, a free photo booth, and Christmas pancakes. The event is free and open to the public and will be held at Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane. County to discuss MOU with City of Odessa. Ector County Commissioners are set to discuss a Memorandum of Understanding with the City of Odessa during a Tuesday meeting at 10 a.m. at the County Annex. County Judge Dustin Fawcett has previously said the MOU is fair to both the City of Odessa and Ector County and will encourage growth and not landlock the City of Odessa. During Tuesday's meeting, the county will also open a public hearing and discuss Samsung C&T Renewables, Seragio BESS Battery Energy Storage System Project Tax Abatement. The public hearing is on Samsung C&T Renewables, LLC, for a proposed designation as a reinvestment zone under for construction for a battery energy storage system planned facility project at Seragio BESS, LLC, to be developed by Samsung C&T Renewables, LLC, and to take any necessary action regarding the approval of adoptions of resolutions and the tax abatement agreement, discuss and possibly approve Guardian Security Solutions proposal for additional camera installation at the Ector County Jail, discuss an MOU with Meals on Wheels for the provision of meals for the Ector County Seniors Center.
This is the Dear Abby column. Annoyed by coworker's cold shoulder. Dear Abby, a woman where I work refuses to acknowledge me. Every day for the past 9 months, she walks by my desk and ignores me even after I've said hello or good morning. I hate to seem petty, but I don't get how someone can be so rude. Has workplace culture become so impersonal that people no longer have or employ basic social skills? It costs nothing to say hello or to smile. It's the least she could do. Signed, Feeling Invisible in Louisiana. Dear Invisible, of course the woman's behavior is rude, and even somewhat hostile. You might ask her if you have offended her in some way and see what kind of reply you receive. I agree that there has been a general decline in basic good manners over the last 10 years. However, one never knows what burdens those we encounter might be carrying. Depression, anger, and stress can affect the way we treat others. My advice would be not to take this personally. And because you know she's not open to exchanging social amenities, to stop what you have been doing. Dear Abby, 4 years ago, I lost my husband of 20 years. After it happened, I told his younger brother, whom he was closest to, that I was going to write about him. However, some things have stopped me. I lost our dog 6 months ago and watched her follow a similar path as my late husband, which hurt me deeply. The other reason is I believe his family may not want to know the truth. His brother thinks my husband was a great man. He did have good qualities, but he wasn't the saint his brother thinks he was. He was emotionally abusive, and he raped me numerous times. He often yelled at our dog for simple things, and he wasn't faithful either. So, should I write the story they don't want to hear? Signed, Pen in Hand in Texas. Dear Pen, they say the pen is mightier than the sword. But if you want to continue to interact with these former in-laws, refrain from the temptation to use it to cut their brother down to size. Dear Abby, My grandson's ex-wife is instructing their four children to be mean to his new 6-year-old stepdaughter. The children are all under 12. We do not speak to the ex-wife, but what can we do to stop this destructive behavior? Signed, Appalled in Georgia. Dear Appalled, I am so glad you wrote. Your grandson's former wife is behaving like a vengeful witch. That she would use the children to hurt a blameless child is appalling. You may be able to diffuse some of this by sitting the grands down and explaining what you expect of them. Tell them that the little girl is not to blame for their parents' divorce, and that you expect them to treat her the way they would like to be treated. Then enforce the rules, as their father should. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.